Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Knicks are trying to find their new head coach. Rodgers finally signs in Pittsburgh, and we pick out teams you will not see in the NFL playoffs next season, but you think they're going to be there. We'll begin today's show with the NBA Finals. They're heading to Indiana. I believe the game is tonight. Series tied 1-1. The series features small market teams in Oklahoma City, Thunder, and the Indiana Pacers, and little-known players on both sides. With Curry, Durant, and LeBron on their way out, is the NBA ready to promote small market teams and the new class of NBA talent?
It's wild to me, right? Like, if you really think about it. And they play tomorrow night, Wednesday night. So, yeah, Wednesday night, that's fine. The game, they can't do any worse than game two. 8.76 million viewers. That's million. 8.76. That is the least watched game two since 2007. Excluding the bubble championship. Let that sink in. This is a series where you have the reigning MVP of the league, the scoring champion. They're the same guy. They're the same guy in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You have a rising star in Chet Holmgren. You have a guy. Now, there is a guy. And Tyrese Halliburton, who's trying to be this generation's Reggie Miller. He's trying to be this generation's villain. He has some semblance of personality, right? He's got a charisma about him. You see enough of him in the WWE when he's feuding with Jalen Brunson. When he's on the court with Jalen Brunson, there's something there. But for whatever reason, it is not translating to the bigger picture. Now, is that because the media markets are smaller than, say, New York or LA or even Dallas? To a degree, yeah. Indianapolis isn't that small. It's one of the smaller ones in the NBA, but Indianapolis is not a small market by any stretch of the imagination. You know, you don't get multiple professional sports franchises in your market by being small market. Right? That's Green Bay. Green Bay is small market. Right? Milwaukee is a small market adjacent. And it's an issue. It's a definite issue moving forward. Because the basketball, you know, it hasn't been atrocious this series. Right? You had the predictable Pacers take game one.
That was predictable to you.
I called it. Mm. You know, you have that situation where you have that rest versus rust factor.
It took all four quarters. It's not like the Pacers ran away with it.
It wasn't a runaway.
Like, well, everybody knew the Pacers were going to win game one.
I don't know about everybody, but I did. Point for me. But
you're also the person that said it's going to be a gentleman's sweep.
It's still in the realm of possibility. The Pacers have to show up and they have to win game three or game four or game five. Somewhere in there, you have the possibility of a gentleman's sweep still on the table, because gentleman's sweep is the other team, the road team wins the first game, or the, you know, the underdog team wins the first game. Much like the 76ers did when they knocked off the Lakers and did not win anything after. You catch him off guard, which is possible. the Thunder had time to rest, but they also they had time off. And Mark Daigneault, you know, like you can only do so much in practice. And you could tell that the Pacers were still riding off the momentum of knocking off the Knicks. They were still riding off of that high. But the Thunder are the top scoring team. They're one of the top defensive teams. They're hard to hold down. They're hard to pin down. They proved that in game two. The burden of proof, the onus is on the Pacers, right? You're now going home. You have to go and defend your turf. You already stole one in Oklahoma City. That's up to you. You got to figure that shit out. But how do you get eyeballs to this series? I just don't know how you do that. It's got to be the product. Because it's too late to drum up a superstar out of nowhere. You have to give them the most thrilling basketball that you possibly can. So overtimes, buzzer beaters, anything you can possibly imagine. Because, you know, it's just not, people are just not tuning in the way you want them to. And it's disappointing when you have the number one team in the league, the number one player in the league, and you still can't draw flies. You can't draw eyeballs. And the owners are talking about expansion. The fuck? Can we get some eyeballs on the product before we talk about bringing teams back to like Seattle or St. Louis or Honolulu or wherever the fuck you want to send them? Because this is embarrassing. It's an embarrassment for the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think this is the NBA's fault. I don't think they did a good job during the regular season marketing these two teams. I don't think they did a good job of pushing SGA and how good he is as a player. I don't think Oklahoma City had enough prime time in the games. They were pushing the Lakers. They were pushing the Golden State Warriors. They were pushing the Miami Heat. But they weren't pushing these teams, and they weren't pushing these players. And that's on the NBA. Like, next season, you know, you should have the Oklahoma City Thunder playing the Pacers on Christmas Day. You should have these smaller market teams front and center, and you've got to market your stars. I mean, there's a new class coming in, right?
Yeah.
The Thunder, the Kevin Durant, the LeBron Jameses, the Steph Currys. We could even argue Giannis. They're on their way out. They've had their time in the sun. And now it's the Brunsons. It's the Towns. It's the Halliburton. It's the, you know, it's this new cloud. You got Wembanyama. That's Wemby. It's going to be Flag. You know, I think Dante.
Anthony Edwards.
Where he's a draw. Anthony Edwards. Another one. Minnesota Timberwolves have a lot of players, a lot of good players on that team. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, it's these small market teams now have the players, and you didn't promote them enough. You didn't talk about them enough. You didn't play them enough during the year. So now you're not getting the casual NBA fan that's going to tune into this. I got to be honest. Game two was a blowout. I put on the Yankee game. I was watching the Yankee game. I'm not even a Yankee fan. But I just wasn't. I think the Yankees are playing Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't interested. No interest. I wasn't interested in the comeback. I wasn't interested in any of the players. That's the other thing is it's not to the players' fault. But there's no chippiness to this series, you know? You had Brunson and Indiana. You know, there was talk on both sides. You know, Halliburton did the choke symbol in game one. Like, you know, there are eyes on that. There is interest. There's a rivalry there. This is all new. This is all new for everybody. You know, it's not like we got a Trae Young situation. There's no real villain, right?
Right.
There's no real villain in this series. I mean, like you said, Halliburton's trying to be a villain, but he's not good enough. You know, he's not playing well enough to get that. He's not hitting dagger threes. You know, they do a good job of coming back when they're down. I think the predictability in this series, Z, is that the Thunder are going to steamroll these guys. That's what everybody's expecting. That's what everybody saw in Game 2. And really, it's going to be on up to the Indiana Pacers to win Game 3 and to show that this is going to be a series. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to be much.
No, it's not going to be much of a series at all, because once the Thunder have gotten going, they're a juggernaut.
Yeah.
They're an absolute juggernaut. But you need personality. You need absolutely personality and interest, and you need some semblance of getting people to give a shit about these two teams in this particular combination. The reason why people cared about Pacers Knicks was because of the bad blood between Brunson and Halliburton and the underlying Reggie Miller versus the Knicks. So any combination, you're really not, you weren't going to get that, right? You were going to see Knicks Timberwolves. Okay, is that really bad blood? No, you're seeing about the Karl-Anthony Towns trade. Like, maybe there's some hurt feelings with Dante DiVincenzo, but I wouldn't necessarily call that bad blood. At the end of the day, they're probably still boys. If you had Knicks Thunder, is Isaiah Hartenstein butthurt that the Knicks didn't re-sign him? Right? Did he go out and say, I'm going to make them pay? No. No. In fact, he made the Thunder pay. And the Thunder are paying handsomely for his services. But that's not an underlying storyline. There's no former coach who's trying to get to the next level. Rick Carlisle's already secured his championship, you know? The Thunder, you know, you could say, oh, the Thunder, like, are trying to, you know, trying to what? Like, there's nothing there. They were the number one team all year. So you're trying to just stay at the top of the mountain? That's not a sexy story. It's not like it was the Warriors where they had 70-something wins. Right? It's not like they were an all-time legendary team. It was just, they're two good teams facing off. There's a lot of stake, not a lot of sizzle, and that's going to be a problem moving forward. That's going to be a huge problem moving forward, and you're absolutely right. It's the NBA's fault. You have guys on this team, on these two teams rather, who can be marketable stars. If you market them right, if you do your job. Instead, what are you talking about? This is the fallout of the Paul George trade. Why the fuck are you talking about Paul George? Paul George can't sniff the finals.
Both teams got rid of him and they made it to the NBA Finals.
So there's hope for Clippers Sixers next year if they jettison Paul George.
I guess so. But the bigger conversation in New York is who's going to be the new Knicks coach. The Knicks are still trying to figure out their head coach situation.
So dumb.
The front runners seem to be Jason Kidd, Mike Malone, Mike Budenholzer, and Taylor Jenkins. So, Z, have the Knicks identified the best candidates?
This is after Rick Pitino said no. Jay Wright said no. I guess. Of the guys who are available, I mean, I guess. They were also, like, if you listen to reports and read reports, they were kicking the tires on possibly contacting the Rockets about Ime Udoka. Good luck with that. You do that. Bother. You do that.
It seems like they're
grasping at straws, like, man.
Seems like there's a real interest in getting Jason Kidd for some weird reason.
I don't understand that. Oh, because he was Brunson's coach?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the only thing I can think of. Okay, hear me out on this. Okay. They might have already had discussions with the Bucks and with the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
About bringing in Giannis and Kevin Durant.
Oh, Christ.
And the hang-up might be where Kevin Durant didn't want Tom Thibodeau. Or Giannis didn't want Tom Thibodeau. And one of the names probably they floated was, okay, well, what about Jason Kidd? And I can see Giannis being, I'm okay with that. And I could see Kevin Durant saying he's okay with that. And now it becomes, well, how do we get Jason Kidd? So right. Last time Jason Kidd was traded from Brooklyn to Milwaukee, it cost two second-round picks. Not bad. I just don't know why Jason Kidd would think that is an attractive situation. That's the only thing I can understand why the Knicks might want him if they're planning on getting those two superstars.
Right.
That's the only way that I can think of why they fired Tom Thibodeau and why they're pursuing Jason Kidd is because they plan on getting Kevin Durant and Giannis. Okay. But if I'm Jason Kidd, right? I've got Kyrie coming back, probably not this year, but probably next year. I'm gonna get Cooper Flagg, who's the best basketball player, best prospect in a really long time. I have Anthony Davis. We have draft picks. We have a good core. I do have a new owner, and I do have, you know, the same general manager. Why would I want to go to New York where it's like they just fired Tom Thibodeau for reaching Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years? They have no draft picks. They have no first-round draft picks for the next 5 years. They gave them all the Brooklyn. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They have Jalen Brunson. But again, this is a team that's, you know, they couldn't beat Indiana. They beat Boston, but you'd assume Boston's going to retool as well. So I'm having a tough time understanding. The only thing I could think of for Jason Kidd is maybe he doesn't like the new ownership. Maybe he doesn't really like Dallas. I think New York is more appealing to him. He was in Brooklyn. I know he likes spending time in the Hamptons. Maybe that's the get. Maybe that's what he wants. But you got to think that the Mavericks' future is brighter than the Knicks' future, right?
Short term, no. Long term, yes. Within the next, in the next two, three years, I would still rather be the Knicks than be the Mavericks. Because you still have to see how these pieces fit together with them. You still have to see how Kyrie fits with AD and Cooper Flagg. Are you keeping Clay? Or are you letting Clay walk? Like, what's the deal with that? If I trade Jason Kidd, what am I getting back? Because, like you said, the Knicks don't have anything. What are they going to get? Like, a draft picks in, like, the mid-2030s? Or are you willing to take a Mikal Bridges? Are you willing to take Bridges for Kidd straight up? Or Karl Anthony Towns for Kidd straight up?
Well, I think...
Because you'd be doing the Knicks a favor.
Well, no, in this situation, the way it has to work, Z, is that Dallas gets the draft picks and either Milwaukee or the Suns get the players. And you gotta deal Towns and you gotta deal Bridges. And I wouldn't think Bridges is going back to Phoenix. So I would think that it's gonna be Towns to Phoenix and Bridges to Milwaukee. But then again, what's Milwaukee thinking? The only thing I can what's on their mind is Boston is in cap trouble. So maybe they get one of those guys. Maybe they get a Jaylen Brown. Maybe they get one of the Celtics players. I don't know.
No, this is a terrible idea all the way around.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me on why Jason Kidd would want to come here. And even if you're giving me Giannis, Brunson, and Durant, I gotta think that I'd be much happier. And Kidd just got his extension. Like he just got his extension. So, I mean, I don't know.
And none of this makes sense. It really doesn't make sense at all. Now, you have
interest. It doesn't make sense what? It doesn't make sense why they want Jason Kidd?
Any of it. You're bringing in broken down Kevin Durant. You're bringing in Jason Kidd. You're getting older on a team that doesn't need to get older. They need to get better. And you could make the argument that getting rid of Thibodeau could make this team better because you're bringing in a new offensive mind that is going to be less pressurizing, less polarizing, because you have internal reports saying that multiple players said they didn't want to play for Tibbs anymore. So he kind of wore out his welcome.
I heard that.
I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns was probably like, when he heard he got traced, like, motherfucker, not again.
Like, yeah. Well, we were all very confused on why, you know, they got rid of him.
Yeah.
But now we know why.
And now we do know why. We absolutely
didn't want to play with him anymore, which I kind of get. He really runs you into the ground, and it doesn't have to be that way. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. This is just speculation in regards to players, but the Knicks have pretty much made it clear that they're targeting Jason Kidd, and now it's up to really the Mavericks to respond. And they could respond by saying, well, he's under contract, he's not going anywhere. They could go to Jason Kidd and ask him if he wants to go there, or they could do a deal and say, well, what are you offering for? So I don't know. We'll have to see. I would assume something gets done closer to the draft, because you've kind of got to figure out, you know, how you're going to be effective next season, and you want to know what coach you have and what player you have. So we'll see what happens.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Staying in the topic of coaches, Peter DeBoer, your boy, was fired from the Dallas Stars shortly after losing to the Oilers in the Western Conference Finals last. And then last week, Tom Thibodeau was also fired as the Knicks head coach when he failed to beat the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. So these are two coaches, two good names, I would say. So Z, which coach will get rehired first?
So DeBoer has two Stanley Cup Finals appearances. So one with the Sharks, one with the Devils. So you at least have that. You know, career 662 and 447 with 152 ties. Like, that's a solid, solid NHL coach. Now, I mean, he has a lot of tread on the tire. He's already been through five organizations. Five. So he too seems to have a ceiling, much like in the way Tom Thibodeau does. But what we don't hear about Pete DeBoer is how he grinds on his players. Like, hockey is a demanding sport in and of itself. Could you imagine if you had, like, Tom Thibodeau as a coach? Could you imagine the exacting... Oh, yeah, I can imagine that, because that's John Tortorella.
I was just about to say that. It sounds like Torts to me.
Yeah, the NHL equivalent of Tom Thibodeau is John Tortorella. And Torts routinely wears out his welcome. The players can't handle him chirping in the media. He can't handle they can't handle the smart ass comments. They can't handle being coached hard and ridden hard. DeBoer doesn't have that reputation. So, I think DeBoer ultimately will get another shot at this, because he has had success. And here's the team that I think is going to provide him with that. I'm looking at Carolina. If they do not advance, Brendan Moore's got to be on the hot seat, right? How many times can you knock on the door with the same roster and the same coaching staff before you're like, hey, we need a new voice? I could see Carolina making that move.
That could be a good fit. Or how about the Maple Leafs?
Toronto's where coaches go to die, man. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but he's a good coach. I mean, he does know hockey.
He does.
I mean, I could see that possibly.
Now, another team that could do this, especially if their coach wears out their welcome, I would love, you know, we'd get Arthur Staple back on and talk about this. If Patrick Waugh talks his way out of the Islanders, they can really undo what they did by firing Barry Trotz. You bring in a guy who knows what the fuck he's doing, and you give him a good, young, loaded roster, and the Islanders could be a problem fast.
I don't really like that for DeBoer. I like the idea of him going to Canada. I like the idea of him going to Carolina. But as far as, like, Thibodeau's concerned, just... You know, he just wears you down, man. He wears you down, and that's players in the NBA, this NBA, don't want that. They don't want to be playing 40 minutes a night. They don't want to play defense. He makes you play defense. He's not a sexy hire either, no. Right? I mean, he's not. He doesn't have the look of a New York Knicks head coach. He doesn't have the look of a real head coach, like a former player or anything like that. I don't know where his next landing spot is. I could see it being a shit situation like like the Wizards.
Oof.
Or like the Jazz. You know, just a team that's, you know, not relevant. They bring in him because we know what his style is now, right? We've seen it twice. We've seen it with the Chicago Bulls, or actually, we've seen it with the Timberwolves too.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a guard that he runs up and down the court. He's got a big man that he tries to force to play two ways. Like, we know his system now. We know it. I can't see him breaking the mold. Like, similar to Mike D'Antoni. I can't see all of a sudden him coaching a team and them winning. But what I will say about him is that there was progress with the Knicks, right? You went from a team that didn't make the playoffs to a team that made it to the playoffs to a team that made it to the second round to then a team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So that's why it's kind of hard to figure out, like, why wouldn't you kick the tires on him another year? I really thought he was safe.
Back-to-back 50-win seasons. Like, why? What are you doing?
Then again, the Knicks just don't do things that make sense, right? No. They never do. They never make the right play. They never make the right trade. They never make the right hire, right? We've seen this before, so I don't even know why we're trying to tell ourselves why we're surprised this has happened. It's like they were close to something, and instead of trying to run this back and tweaking this and tweaking here, it sounds like you're going to revamp this whole thing with no draft picks. Like, you're literally going to go out there, get a guy who hasn't proven shit, and you're going to try to replicate what you did last year in an off year where, let's be real, D, I mean, they really should have gotten bounced out by the Celtics. I mean, they were bailed out because they jumped all over them in the first two games. And they also took advantage of Tatum going down. But we saw when they played the Pacers that they were overmatched. They were beaten by a better team, a better all-around team, and a better coach, right? So I don't know. I think DeBoer is the better hire. His acumen and his ability to coach hockey and coach good players. He's got a great resume. He's been to the finals. Mm-hmm. He's been to the finals as a head coach, so he knows what it takes. And he seems to turn around things pretty quickly. So I think he's gonna get the job. He's gonna get a job first. And Thibodeau, he might want to pull one of those Rick Pitino cards and go overseas, or maybe give college a shot. His brand would work in college. It would work in college, right? Because he's one player dominant, which works in college, and he'll get young guys in college to play defense. There's a system to college basketball. He could teach a system.
Yeah,
those boys could play 40 minutes 38 minutes. They could play, and they want to play. They want to play as much as possible when you're in college. You don't want to come out. You don't want to break. You don't want a breather. You want to play every night, all night, because I'm trying to get to the league.
Well, think about Rick Pitino, right? We're drawing the comparison to Rick Pitino. Think about the struggles Rick Pitino has had with this modern college player. Like, I can see Tibbs having that same kind of situation where you have guys who are just not interested in playing that hard when they can see other players not being taken that hard and still getting to the NBA. So I can understand where, especially in the NIL, like you're going to have to, you're going to be paying top dollar for these guys to put up with Tibbs. And it's these guys putting up with Tibbs. It's not Tibbs putting up with these guys.
Well, if they could deal with Belichick, they could deal with Tibbs.
And it still hasn't proven that they can handle Belichick yet. Like, we still have to see. The proof is in the pudding on that.
They do like his girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Like, Jesus Christ. Well, Tibbs doesn't have to worry about that. Like, as far as I know.
And my man needs to go to Turkey and get, taken care of.
Go to Bronx Marquez. Go to Salon Marquez. Just do it.
Salon Marquez. Yes. It's a great time.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Mandatory mini camps are starting. Football season's upon us. Mini camps are starting this week. And so, Z, I know it's early, but can you think of any teams that people are counting on seeing in the playoffs that won't be there in January?
Well, if they can't figure out the Trey Hendrickson situation, the Bengals are, you need to be a two-way team to be in that. To be in that division.
Very interesting. So you're trying to say that you think people this year expect the Bengals to be in the playoffs. You think they expect them to?
I think they are the second of the two teams.
They weren't there last year. They didn't make it last year.
No, they had lots of issues regarding health, and the Trey Hendrickson thing still has not gotten resolved. Now, you're hoping that Chase, you're hoping that Higgins come back healthy and ready to go. You're hoping that Burrow can stay upright. That's a lot of hope. That's a lot of hope. That's an absolute lot of hope. And, the Steelers, we're going to talk about the Steelers and the addition of Aaron Rodgers shortly. You're talking about...
I can tease that.
Absolutely. The Colts, they have the potential to be better than they are. So you might be, the wild card.
Oh, you're buying into Daniel Jones.
Better than they are.
The quarterback there.
Better than they are doesn't mean great. So all he has to do is turn and hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor. He should be used to that. He turned and handed off to Saquon Barkley. Turn around and hand the ball off. That's your job, Daniel. That's all I can trust you to do. Jonathan Taylor has the potential to be a 2,000-yard rusher. Just don't fuck this up.
Don't screw it up.
So, you still have Bills, Dolphins. There's no guarantee right? There's no guarantee that there will be a seat at the table for the Bengals. There's no guarantee there's going to be a seat at the table for the Dolphins, right? I don't think they got appreciably better. You have another year of Tua. Like, is Tua going to be able to survive? Like, you know,
do you think people are expecting to see the Dolphins in the playoffs?
I think they expect the Dolphins, with the high-octane offense that they have, to be contenders. I think they expect them to at least be a wild card team. That team has expectations. The Bengals have expectations. You have, you know, even the Steelers. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, you put expectations on this team, right? It's not Kenny Pickett. It's not Russell Wilson. It's not Justin Fields. Like, you've now injected this team with expectations. You know, what was called the lethal poison by Vince McMahon when he brought in the NWO. Like, I'm going to kill my own creation with the NWO for life. Now, that's just the AFC. NFC, people are expecting because Sam Darnold is there for the Seahawks to be as good as they were last year. Smith and Jigba's got to prove it. They need to figure out the wide receiver situation. Like, I don't see it. I don't see it right now.
I heard Sam looks good. I heard they love Sam. I heard they love him.
You don't trade away your starting quarterback. You don't trade away your number one wide receiver, and then you get the huge vote of confidence, man. Like, I don't know. Like, Smith and Jigba, he's good. Let's see it. Now you're the one. Now you got to fucking prove it. Darnold, you got your money. Now you got to prove it. I'm not so sure, right? I'm not so sure. And the last one, and mostly because Terry McLaurin is holding out right now, like, commies. Like, there's tape on you. There's expectations now. Can you hold off the Cowboys? Can you hold off the Giants? Can you? I mean, you're not going to catch the Eagles. That's not happening. But now that there's tape, now there's expectations, can you stay risen to those expectations? Much like the Houston Texans had to deal with those expectations, and they didn't meet them, right? They didn't meet them to a satisfactory level. There were higher aspirations. Some people had the Texans in the Super Bowl last year, right? People aren't going to make that same jump for the commies, at least I don't think, but they expect them to be at least a wild card. But I don't know. I don't see it. Multiple teams have gotten better around the NFC. So when the musical chairs are over, I don't know if there's a seat there for Washington or Seattle.
Very, very interesting. So for me, I got one team in the AFC, and I got two teams in the NFC. So the first one is going to surprise you. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's for the simple reason of they had so many one-score games last year. You can't tell me they're going to get all those again. They're going to be at least 500 in those games, okay? They got blowed the fuck out in the Super Bowl. The score was 24-3 in the third quarter. There's a tape on them now. There's a tape on what happened. They lost their best lineman. I believe what? It was Creed Humphrey, right? Creed Humphrey left? Who left? Somebody left.
I don't think it was Tooney. Tooney got traded. Tooney.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe Tooney left.
Yeah.
He got traded. I mean, that's a big deal because that was the whole problem, right? The line was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, that division is a hell division, man.
Yeah.
That division is hell division because you've got the Broncos, who I think have arrived. I think they've arrived.
They just signed J.K. Dobbins today.
This is Sean Payton's, I think it's his second year,
uh-huh.
Third year. It's his third year. His first year was with Russ.
Yeah.
Second year with Bo Nix. This is his second year with Bo Nix. Westhoff is there. Their defense is young. They're good. They have a great coaching staff. They've got a young quarterback, but he's also like an older quarterback, an older player. They've got great players at the skilled position. They've arrived, okay? Then you got Pete Carroll, who's now coaching the Raiders. They have Geno Smith at quarterback. They have an all-world tight end. They went and drafted Gentry, who is the best running back in the draft. And you got Chargers with Harbaugh. This is his second year, you know, with Justin Herbert and company. You would assume he's going to be better. So I think that division is going to be tough. I think two teams make it out, but I don't think it's going to be the Chiefs. I think, and you got Chuck Kelsey's a year older. They got a quarterback. They got a wide receiver coming back from a serious knee injury. So that's my first team in the AFC. In the NFC, it's the Lions. See, it's the Lions. I think the fairy tale is over. They lost both coordinators, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just lost their best lineman. Ragnow retired. So now you lost your best offensive lineman. They were knocking on the door. I think the Bears are better. The Vikings are supposedly getting their franchise quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, this year. The Packers, as much as I like to make fun of their head coach, LaFleur. They've got it together. They have their quarterback. Jacobs was a monster last year. They have young receivers. They have a young defense. I think they might have missed their window. And then the other team is that I agree with you. I think it's the Commanders. I totally think it's the Commanders. You know, unless Jaden Daniels is going to gain 30 pounds this offseason, there's a tape on him now too. Quarterbacks usually have a sophomore slump. And, I could see only really one team making it out of the division, and it's probably the Cowboys. I mean, it's probably the Eagles.
No, that makes sense. And, yeah, I mean, that division, think about the AFC West and how it went from a joke to an actual black and blue division. Like, that's an attrition division. You're absolutely right.
It's the coaching. Coaching is just outstanding in that division.
Oh, completely from top to bottom. But I think with the Lions, there's a lot of talent there. Yes, I know that you're talking about Frank Ragnow retired, but they do have depth on their line. So we'll see if they're able to plug that hole. The coordinators, that's definitely an issue. But at the same time, teams lose coordinators all the time, and there's always a little bit of upheaval, but I believe they promoted from within. So you have somebody who's kind of familiar with what Ben Johnson was doing anyway. And Aaron Glenn's defense was agita inducing in a lot of... So the Jets have something to look forward to there. So as flashy and as physical as they were getting gashed a lot. Now you can tell me injuries, and yes, that's true. But even when they were healthy, they were giving up chunks. So that's an issue. Is Hutchinson going to be back to full form after that gnarly leg injury? We'll see. We're definitely going to see.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I think they're fine for now. I mean, they're not going to... If anything, they're going to slip to a wild card, but I think they still got a shot. I think they're still there.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens on that one.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see. And the one division or teams that we may like, that just the NFC South, just I got nothing for that. Like, I don't even know. Like, do we have to put a playoff team in? It's just like so nondescript. It's not even funny. I guess we can pencil in the Bucks, but you know, even then, I'm not super confident about that. It's kind of boring. It's one of those things that it's kind of expected at this point.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. And if you're looking for delicious gourmet handcrafted brownies, then look no farther than Sweet Life Brownie Co. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave. From the classic OB, to Dutch apple, to my personal favorite cookie jar, red velvet, and many more. Check out their Instagram at sweetlifebrownie_co for their Friday brownie drops. Every Friday at noon, you see what they're making. or give them a call at 845-641-3043 and tell them the D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownie_co on Instagram, sweetlifebrownieco on Facebook, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co. Because there's always room for a brownie.
But speaking of expected, we've expected this for the longest time. And it finally happened. He emerged from the darkness and signed his contract. The Phoenix, the Rogers has risen. Aaron has finally put pen to paper in Pittsburgh, signing his one-year, $13 million contract. He said he'd play for 10. What happened? He got 13. He said he'd play for 10. Son of a bitch. So what does this actually mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It just means Mason Rudolph is not going to play much this year, I think. I mean, listen, let's really talk about it. I mean, when we really look at this signing, I think there was a lot of trust, right? They clearly had conversations in the offseason where both sides agreed that he would be their quarterback next year. I think what happened here was, you know, he didn't want to go to OTAs. He didn't want to get bashed for missing, you know, the organized workouts. So listen, I'm signing here. I want to be a Steeler, okay? But I'll sign the week of mandatory minicamp so that I'll sign and then I'll come and do minicamp. I really believe that's what happened. They didn't want to get into a situation like it was with the Jets, where it's like he signed and then he went to Israel, or he went to Egypt, or where he went to see the pyramids. And I was just like, dude, I thought you were all in, and then you're not here, and you got so much shit for that, and that shit carried into the season, right? Because when they played like crap, it was like, see, you should have been at OTAs, you should have been at minicamp. This is why we suck right now, because you weren't here. So,
and then
you
know, he learned
his lesson. Yeah, so he, yeah, right. And so I think he learned his lesson from that. I think there is a lot of respect between him and Tomlin. And, you know, both sides pretty much were saying, okay, yeah, you want to come at mandatory minicamp? We're cool with that. Just make sure you're here at mandatory minicamp. From what I've heard, it sounds like Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin have been tweaking the offense towards his skill set. They're making this around him. And, you know, when you think about it, it does make sense. He's going to be the bridge to whatever the next quarterback is. Tomlin, Arthur Smith, the Steelers, they had a front row ticket last year to see Justin Fields play and Russell Wilson play. And they were able to decide, okay, we don't have much to do here with Russell Wilson. And we don't see Justin Fields as our future. That they decided in the games they watched last year. And I'm cool with that, right? Like, I'm cool with them deciding that. And if that's the case, then all right. So what are we going to do? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers. We know we believe him to be elite. We're going to tailor a offense around his skill set, his talents. He's our guy. We're 100% behind him. And we're going to do the best we can this year. And then if we wind up losing, it's fine, because next year is the quarterback draft. So as much as it pains me to say, I do think this was a bold move by the Steelers. I think it's going to work out well. And guess who they play week one? The New York Jets.
They play Lupus week one. So here's the thing. Well, what do you consider success for a team that's always hovering around 500 in a playoff berth? Like, are you how far over 500 do you think they're going to be?
So success for me this year for the Steelers would be for them to make the playoffs and get a playoff win.
Okay.
Something they haven't done in a while. They've been making the playoffs, but they don't win. So, and the worst thing that could happen is for them to bring in Aaron Rodgers and for them to go under 500, which would be the first time in Tomlin's history. So there's still a lot on the line here, but I think there's a better respect for one another I think the Steelers are a classy organization. And I think as long as he stays healthy, they're going to have success.
That's the key. Now, this line is pretty much the same, right? And this line was very porous last year. Russ was running for his life a little bit. Now, and Russ, you could say, is more mobile at this point because he's not hampered by that potential Achilles, right? He's less willing to kind of guard it. He's more willing to run and let it go. If they can't situate this line, there is a situation where you can run through 3 to 4 of your quarterbacks. Because we've seen the Steelers have that, where they've had to run through guys like Duck Hodges. Duck Hodges has had to play for the Steelers. Mason Rudolph has had to play for the Steelers. Justin Fields had to play for the Steelers. Russell Wilson had to, like, they're constantly having to shuffle their QB position. The hope with Aaron Rodgers is that he comes in, he stabilizes the position, has amazing chemistry with DK Metcalf, and takes them to the next level. Well, let's see, because minicamp, like, that's where you start building your chemistry. That's where you have to start doing this. And last time we saw this kind of chemistry lesson, it didn't go very well for our one Mr. Garrett Wilson. So let's see how Mr. Rodgers plays with Metcalf. The run game got worse. Najee Harris is gone. Jaylen Warren is your number one. Who's the handcuff? Is it Kenneth Gainwell, who you brought in from the Eagles? Is it a guy like Trey Sermon? Is it Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, who's the guy who's going to fill the gap? Who's going to get those yards that Najee Harris got for you? Right? So your wide receiver core, you're looking at DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin, Scotty Miller, and Ben Skowronek. Not exactly George Pickens, right? You're like, it's not exactly Deontay Johnson. You're kind of like pining for those guys again. Like, the drop-off is steep. The drop-off is steep. But it's still a solid enough football team. It's a defensive-oriented team. You're just trying to get some semblance of offense to keep it going and get points on the board. TJ Watt is not attending camp right now because he, too, is looking for a contract. He's looking for an extension. So, you know, the Steelers can't let that linger very long because of his impact on defense and his impact to the team. I think they're in the same boat as they've been. I really think they're in that, like, projection wise, I think that's 9-8, losing the first round. I don't see you getting appreciably better. Like, yeah, you brought in DK Metcalf, but, you know, it's one guy. Yeah, you brought in Aaron Rodgers. You had an older quarterback last year. So, I don't know. It's just rearranging faces with similar skill sets. Rodgers has a better arm. Is that going to play in the cold of Pittsburgh in December? It did in Green Bay, but is it going to in Pittsburgh? It didn't really translate in New York. It didn't really translate with the Jets. So, all in all, it's going to be a fun year because it's going to be lots of overreactions, lots of speculation. Rodgers is going to... he's probably going to try and tone it down a little bit because he respects Mike Tomlin, unlike some of the other guys that he's, you know, had the pleasure, like Mr. Saleh. But I think he's going to play nice, at least in the beginning.
It always starts out like that, playing nice in the beginning, and then something goes wrong that he doesn't like, and the sniping begins. He's not going to get his friends' jobs this time. I think the Steelers are too smart for that. I don't think this is going to be a come up for Lazard and all, you know, like all of his ex teammates. Lazard, I think, re-signed with the Jets anyway, but the come up isn't there this time. But yeah, I just don't see it. I just don't see how this is a better situation for the Steelers and for Rodgers than it was last year.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. PopStar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. PopStars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. PopStars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, PopStars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, PopStars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement. It's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, the Edmonton Oilers are in trouble.
Fair. Fair. I watched the whole game last night, and the game was over in the first period.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, because they were down 3-1, the Oilers just started getting sloppy, and they started just being hacks and fouling and slashing and boarding, and their main complaint was, well, you know, the Panthers are doing this to us, they're just not getting caught with it, and so we're doing it right back to them. It's like, where is the accountability? Where's your leader? Where's Connor McDavid telling everybody, yeah, go, everybody calm down, I know we're down 3-1 or we're even down 4-1, but let's get it together and show some restraint. Where's Draisaitl? They need neither Draisaitl or Connor McDavid had a point last night. They're 2-11 when neither of those guys have a point. No points. I was very surprised. I think Connor McDavid needs to have a meeting with his team. I saw them put him down. I saw the Panthers body the fuck out of him and put him down on his ass so hard that he had to go back to the locker room for a couple minutes and figure out what train just ran him over. So, man, I think it is very fair.
Take your pick. It's either Tkachuk, Bennett, Barkov, Marchand, Ekblad. Like, the Florida Panthers are a very, very physical team. It's what they do. It's how they get you off your game. And when you think they're goons, they go and light you up for six. And to make matters worse, they were faster than the Oilers yesterday. Breakaways. Like absolute dominance from the Florida Panthers. If they keep putting up performances like this, and if Stuart Skinner shits the bed like he did yesterday, it's over. It's absolutely over. Because
yeah, I mean, I'll give him a break because you know he's been playing better than he is the last several games, and eventually reality is going to catch up with you, right? I mean, Bobrovsky's a better goaltender. He's a champion goaltender.
And
Skinner, I believe Skinner is doing the best he can.
Skinner. But
last night, yeah. They rushed him, man.
But that's the thing.
Marchand, like, they rushed him, man.
But that's the thing. You're coming on. You have clean sight lines. You shouldn't be getting beat short side. It's one thing if you're screened. It's another thing to just get beat consistently on the short side. You can't have that.
It was two on one on a fast break. He ain't getting through that, man.
No.
He's like, oh shit.
No. he had nothing. But he's not a dependable goalie. Right? Skinner is just good enough. And
serviceable.
Yes.
Serviceable.
Edmonton has had issues trying to find their goalie, whether it was Mike Smith, now it's Skinner. It's not worked out. It hasn't been the right guy. And that's a problem, because if the offense isn't there, which against a stout defensive team like the Panthers, sometimes it's not going to be, right? It's not going to be very east-west. They're going to make you play north-south. They're going to grind you down and you have to weather the storm. That's what you have to do. That's how you beat the Florida. You beat the Florida Panthers by jumping out, getting the step on them, and then just beating them. That's all. That's the key to success there. And even when you got them beat, you still have to deal with Bobrovsky. It's just something that's easily going to overwhelm them if they're not careful, and if they're starting to lose their cool. That's even worse. Evander Kane took a penalty. I think Corey Perry ended up in the box at one point. You cannot react. The old adage is, they always take the guy that reacts. Yeah, that's always the key. You're always, if you're in the reaction, if you're the second guy that throws the punch, you're going. You're absolutely going. But defensively, Edmonton is getting outclassed right now. It was a bad night for Draisaitl and McDavid. They can't afford to have that. The team can't afford to have that. Your one goal came from Corey Perry down low, which was a nice play. It was a nice play on a rebound. Like, you got to get those greasy goals. You got to get those dirty goals. That's what's going to be the counterpunch. You can't always be finesse, right? Think about the Rangers last year. They tried to out-finesse the Oilers. Excuse me. They tried to out-finesse the Panthers, and it didn't work. You need to be able to get down low and be in the trenches with these guys, because they're ready for it. Not only are they ready for it, they excel in it. So pack a lunch, get ready for game four, and weather the storm. Fair or foul number two. Inside the NBA will have the same success on ESPN that it had on TNT.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if ESPN is going to give them the freedom and the liberties to say the things they said and do the things they did. You know, a big part of their success is the humor, is the making fun of each other, is the Twitter or the X hashtags, you know, before the breaks, after the breaks, and things like that. And I can see a situation where the ESPN producers are not looking for the same vibe or the same show. They were just interested in getting those guys on ESPN for the eyeballs. And if that's the case, I can't see Shaq, Kenny, or Barkley staying with that show that long. So I'm going to say foul. I don't think it's going to have the same success.
How long before you have a guest spot by Greeny, or have a guest spot from Kendrick Perkins, or have a guest spot from Wilbon? Because right. ESPN tried to do it with Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee pretty much told him, fuck off, this is my show. This is how I right. do it, and if you don't like it, we don't have to do business. The deal's already done, right? They're going to ESPN from TNT. Now, ESPN is going to try and put its flavor into this, even though the model's not broken. The model is Shaq busting on Chuck because he's fat. Chuck making a joke in response. Ernie and Kenny laughing their asses off. It's the Chuck and Shaq show. Right? What outrageous shit are they going to say? And knowing ESPN, there's going to be a lot of like contrived scenarios, right? Or hot take moments that they're going to try and force. Think about all the shit that they do with Stephen A. Smith. It's designed to get the viral moment, to get that hot take, more so than anything else. And if Stephen A. Smith is on there, that would be insufferable. But I would watch it just to see if Chuck tries to take him down a peg. That would be interesting. If Chuck goes after Stephen A. and tells him to shut up. Like, that would be fantastic. I'd pay to watch that. But I don't know if ESPN, and more to the point, I don't know if guys like Greeny, Stephen A., I don't know if they would allow, I don't know if their egos would allow for that kind of banter, for that kind of show. And I think it's going to end up the way of Get Up or NBA Countdown or any other soulless ESPN show. Because that's kind of what the worldwide leader is doing. They're creating redundant versions with different names. You have an established brand with an established identity. Use the Pat McAfee model. I know I talk a lot of shit about Pat McAfee, but he is smart in that regard. He didn't let them mess with his product. You bought the product. Now don't go changing it. You bought the product inside the NBA. Don't go changing it.
Don't go changing it.
Don't go changing it. No. This isn't a new Coke situation. You don't need to create something new and put your spin on it. If that was the case, you should have just created something new. Let Shaq be Shaq. Let Ernie be Ernie. Let Kenny be Kenny. Let Chuck be Chuck. And if you want to sprinkle in one of your talking heads and loudmouths, then go for it. Don't fix what isn't broken. Bottom line.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com.
Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
I don't.
That would be Inter Milan. The worst loss in Champions League history. Well played. Well played. Yeah. Congratulations to PSG. Congratulations to PSG. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got Connor McDavid. Be a leader. This is the captain and arguably the best player in the NHL who currently is playing for the Edmonton Oilers. You let game two or game three get out of hand and allowed your teammates to act like dopes on their way to a 6-1 loss to Florida. Be better. Just be better. Connor McDavid, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I got Spencer Strider. Your loss last week brings your season stats to 0-5 with a 5.40 ERA. Only one quality start and only 24 Ks this season. 0-2 in the last 7 days. Thanks for playing. Spencer Strider, you are the Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, Derek Thomas. He is the home plate umpire from the Tigers-Cubs game yesterday. He called a bad third strike on Cubs' Nico Horner in the top of the fifth inning. And Nico replied, "You're having a really bad day." And when he said that, he immediately ejected him. Craig Council came out to argue the ejection, and he got ejected too. All he said was, "Is you're having a real bad day, pal." And he ejected him. So, Derek Thomas, chill out. Accept some criticism. You are the Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got to say?
I mean, you can't argue with that. He is having a really bad day.
It was hilarious. It was a strike. He's like, "You're having a real bad day, dude.
Get the fuck out of here."
You're out. Well, what do you mean I'm out of here?
Did you see, I forget who it was, but one of the players disagreed with the ball, with the strike call, tapped his helmet like they were tapping in spring training.
I love that.
Oh, you want the ab system? Get the fuck out of here. You can take a fucking walk right there. Oh, Christ almighty. Like,
you're having a real bad day, dude. That is the best comment ever. Shit. You're out of here. What do you mean? What are you talking about? All I said to you was you were having a bad day. What's the problem?
It's like, go fuck yourself. That's the problem. Oh, my God. So that's ridiculous. But, you know, once again, umps are, you know, letting their egos get in the way of, you know, a good baseball game. Unfortunately, people don't come to see the umps. There's a reason why you don't get ump cards. No, you get baseball player cards. You don't get ump cards. Oh, sweet. I got my Angel Hernandez card. It's great. Got my Eric Gregg card. No, those things don't exist. I'm going to start with the Phillies. Yikes. They've lost 10 of their last 12 games. Swept by the lowly Pirates. Had a 3-game lead on the Mets, and that is gone. The Mets lapped them. They're about 4 games ahead now. So, yeah. The hits keep on coming. Alvarado has the suspension. They can't get their bullpen going. Taiwan Walker got moved to the bullpen. It's a mess, man. Harper is hurt. They're in danger of becoming the Braves very quickly if they don't.
That's just a death sentence.
If they don't right the ship. And Aaron Nola has a stress fracture in his ribs. So there's that too.
Oh, I saw he's out another 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ. Like,
he's having a shit season, too.
You're having a bad day.
You're having a bad day, dude.
Oh my god,
it's just so funny. Shit. And if you hear it, that's exactly like the tone he says it, and he's not angry about it. He's sort of depressed. He's just like, you're having a bad day, dude. Like
you're gone. You're just
fucking getting everything wrong. You're out of here. You're
fucking gone. Oh my god.
Yeah. If you have a chance, listen to it. It's so good. Absolutely. You're having a bad day, dude.
Definitely. Well, you know, Aryna Sabalenka was having a bad day too. So her response to Coco Gauff beating her at the French Open was, it's not so much that Coco won, it's just that, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. So that's like, you know, oof, that's lovely.
What a pro.
I know. And then she got dog walked by Chris Everett. That was great. So she's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, you're the number one, number two in the world. You should know how to play on windy days. Oh, from the top rope. Chris Everett from the top rope. By God, she has a family. Stone cold. Oh, and then Sabalenka issues this limp wrist Instagram apology where she just types her answer. She types her apology on her phone and then posts it to her Instagram story. You were loud in public with the comment. You need to be loud in public with the apology. That's bullshit right there.
That's some
bullshit right there. That's, you know, Anthony Rendon.
Bushido bit. Or no Bushido?
Yeah.
Bushido.
That is Anthony Rendon bitch of the week territory.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
That is total bitch behavior. Aryna Sabalenka.
I gotta get hip surgery, coach.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You just got here.
I didn't even check into my hotel yet.
Shit. I
would love to be in that room when that happens.
I mean, we planned to not have you for 100, but now we got to plan for 162.
Ted Williams had more games when he was playing in the war.
This guy was getting shot at by fucking Nazis. He's getting shot at by Koreans. No.
My foot hurts. Can I go to the nurse?
Oh my god. Aryna Sabalenka, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, MLS. The Club World Cup starts on the 14th, and yeah, the league is at odds with the players' union over compensation. Apparently, teams are not being compensated for this extraneous tournament. So you have LAFC, you have Inter Miami, you have Seattle Sounders, and yeah, they're not getting equal treatment. And the Seattle Sounders called them out on that by wearing t-shirts in protest before their match. So MLS comes off as a second-rate Mickey Mouse league once again because they don't take care of their own. MLS, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, or go to our Spotify page and vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.